So you know what? Maybe the changes in recent days have been so huge that you're feeling stretched beyond your capabilities. I can tell you right now that Suze and I, honestly, we found limits that we didn't know we had. I'm so proud of all of our team, our leadership team, our Connect Group leaders, our Dream team, who've reached out and connected and just gone online and done stuff online. You guys are rock stars. I love you. Thank you for doing that. For some, this whole COVID-19 situation may have caused you to question a whole bunch of things, not just about your right now, but even questions around your future. Yeah. Thoughts and questions around things like this. I can no longer do what I trained to do. I can't do what I've been raised to do. I can't do what I've dreamt of doing. In this lockdown, we're challenged and we're exposed to a mirror. And that mirror is the mirror of our own lives. That mirror reflects our choices. It reflects our behaviors. Actually, what I found is it reflects my routines. I have discovered that actually, you know what? I'm quite a creature of habit. Oh. And all those habits are being thrown out the window right now because I have to find a new normal. You know what? Some of you may have even asked this question. Who am I? I want to dig into that question a bit this morning, that question of who am I? But before we go anywhere else, can we just pray? Let's continue our worship around this word, but let's just lean in a little bit more. Let's open up our hearts a little bit more to the Holy Spirit. Come on, let's pray. Father, before we go anywhere else, Holy Spirit, we know that you are here. You are omnipresent. That means you are in all places at all times. You literally do encase and encompass the globe. Right at the beginning, we read in the word where it says that you hovered over creation even before creation started to take shape. And so I'm asking that you would not just hover, but you would encompass, that you would fill every home, every lounge, every bedroom, every place someone is linking in with this service or another service that's going live on stream across this nation and around the globe. But this morning, at this moment, for us right here in our meeting, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would take this word that you have been just forging into my heart, my spirit for today. As we lean into you, take this living word and plant it in our hearts, plant it in our spirits, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we get some virtual amens?
Amen.
Now, if you know me, you know I love music. I love to play music. I play, I sing, I listen. I soak myself in music right from a young age. I used to do homework to music. I write my sermons with my headphones on. I soak myself in music and worship music. But recently, I've also been listening to a soundtrack of a world famous musical. That musical is commonly called Les Mis or Les Miserables, and hopefully, that show is coming to Blenheim in a couple of years' time. But anyway, in this story of Les Mis, part of the story is about a paroled convict named Jean Valjean. He breaks his parole, he creates a whole new identity, he becomes a successful businessman, and even becomes the mayor of his village or his town. But then he's faced with a dilemma. A relentless gendarme by the name of Javert has been hunting him across the nation and throughout the years, and he becomes the marshal of the town that Jean Valjean is the mayor of. He then informs Jean Valjean, or Monsieur le Maire, he informs him that a convict has been captured, has been arrested, and is going to face trial, and the convict is Jean Valjean. All of a sudden, the real Jean Valjean is faced with a decision. Does he own who he is and see this mistakenly arrested man set free? Or does he continue living in his false identity and escape his past? And there is one famous song, or there's lots of famous songs in this musical, but one of them is called Who Am I? And this is where Jean Valjean is faced with that very question, who am I? And a part of the song goes like this. Ah, you thought I was going to sing it, didn't you? No, 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 no. But the words, part of the song goes like this. Who am I? Can I conceal myself forevermore? Pretend I'm not the man I was before? And must my name, until I die, be no more than an alibi? Must I lie? How can I ever face my fellow men? How can I ever face myself again? Then he goes on to say this: my soul belongs to God. I know I made that bargain long ago. He gave me hope when hope was gone. He gave me strength to journey on. Who am I? Who am I? I'm Jean Valjean. So he owns his identity. But being able to own that identity was because he and God had made a connection. You know, I have a similar story. Well, not quite like that. I'm not a paroled convict. But I do have a similar story of where my identity got challenged. Quite a number of years ago, I used to play competitive water polo. And in one of those tournaments, I got super excited when my team got a really clean breakaway and it was a sure goal. And I was standing at the end of the pool and I was shouting and I was cheering. And I shouted so loud that I actually hemorrhaged one of my vocal cords. You know what the treatment for was that? The treatment for that was? Virtual silence for 4 weeks. 4 weeks, that sounds familiar. What is it with 4 weeks? Anyway, so for 4 weeks, I was not allowed to sing. I was not allowed to preach. I wasn't even allowed to whisper. I think actually Sue's really like that. I think that was a highlight. That was a good month for her. I think she's sitting out going. Anyway, you know what? I came to this crashing place of identity crisis. If I can't sing, if I can't lead worship, if I can't preach, then who am I? You see, what I'd done is I'd shaped my identity around what I did. I had shaped my identity around what I do. And suddenly I was faced with that question, who am I? It started me on a journey of discovery. I learned that my identity is not what I do, but who I am. And so to find out who I am, I went back to my origin. Now, when I say go back to my origin, I'm not talking about going back to the country of my birth. I'm not even talking about going back to the family tree with my family genealogy. And one of my uncles back in England, apparently he's done it, and apparently goes all the way back. He's got it back to the 15th century or something, and there's some Viking blood there somewhere or something, and I don't know, maybe that answers questions about the berserker, but I have no idea. But I didn't even go there. When I say I went back to my origin, I went back to my creator. Very famous psalm in the Bible, in Psalm 139, verse 16 says this. It says, you saw me before I was born. Wow. It doesn't get much more origin than that. You know, many of us harbor elements of uncertainty around our identity. And this uncertainty in turn shakes and shapes our self-esteem. We deem others as perhaps being more important than ourselves. We compare ourselves with others, and in that comparison, we allow that comparison to determine who we are. We allow those comparisons to determine who I am. And we become, what that does is it causes us to become dependent on other people's approval to prop up our identity. Yeah. I'm telling you my story here because what I do, even as a young lad, I so craved the approval of other people. And if I didn't get it, my identity was shattered. But you know what? As I went on this journey of finding out my identity, I also found out that every time I compared myself to someone else and said, I'm no good because I'm not as that good. Well, what I'm doing is I was elevating their identity over and above the identity that I was supposed to know. And then I discovered that by doing that, it was like I was slapping God in the face. Yeah. To look at another person and say, I wish I was like them, then I'm looking at my creator and going, you got it wrong. You know, the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest writers and the greatest speakers in the New Testament, He put it this way in the book of Romans. He wrote a letter to the Roman people, and in chapter 9, verse 20 of that book, he says this: "No, don't say that. Who are you, a mere human being, to argue with God? Should the thing that was created say to the one who created it, 'Why have you made me like this?'" When I realized that that's what I was doing, I was just like, wow. How could the gall? How could I even imagine that I could say to my creator, "Dude, you got it wrong"? And in this journey, I discovered a scripture which has become perhaps my personal favorite scripture in the whole Bible. I mean, there's lots that are really powerful and really good, but this one here has been, this one here was kind of like the peak and the great big nugget of gold found in the rock in my journey of searching for my identity. And it's in the book of Ephesians. Again, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesian people. In chapter 2 of that letter, verse 10, it says this: "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago." If you read the Passion Translation of the Bible, where it says, "For we are God's masterpiece," it says, "We have become his poetry." Each and every one of you are a poem written by the Creator of the heavens and the earth. God made you that you might reflect, get this people, God made you individually and specifically that you individually and specifically might reflect a unique aspect of his glory. And we think, well, how can that happen? Well, if you look around the globe, you look at the billions and billions of people around the globe, each one uniquely reflecting something of God, maybe, just maybe, that might give you a little bit of an understanding of the dimension of the God that we worship. As believers in Christ, we've been given a whole new identity as children of God. We weren't created to live dependent on any other person than God himself. And God, get this, in God, we don't ever need to be afraid of who we really are. If you've allowed your origin, your creator, if you've allowed God to show you what your identity is, you don't need to be afraid of anything with regards to that identity. It's time. Guys, I lean into this. It is time to develop a true opinion of yourself based on not other people's thoughts, not the media, not TV, not Hollywood, not even your workplace, but your true opinion, your true identity, based on the truth that God made you. And he made you exactly, he made you precisely, he made you intricately, he made you wondrously and uniquely you. You are a one-of-a-kind creation for which there is no comparison. Look, if you don't take anything else out of today, take this. Nothing, nothing compares to you. Nothing compares to you. You are uniquely, wondrously, intricately, and exactly made by God. Now, early on, as I was speaking, I gave you one verse out of the Psalm 139, where the psalmist wrote, "You saw me before I was born." Let me give you a bit of a wider on that. We're going to look at Psalm 139, verses 16 and 18. And this is what it says: "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand." Have you ever been to the beach and tried to count a handful of sand? It is virtually impossible. "They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, you are still with me." He says he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. God has a plan. He has created you with an identity. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. God created you with a unique identity. And out of that unique identity will be the energy and the ability to fulfill God's given purpose for you and for your life. You know, it's hugely important to remember that God has given you your identity. and has purposed and he's called you specifically and especially you. Do you understand that? God has got a calling for you. He's gone before you and prepared that. Ephesians 2:10 created you for a good work. He's gone before and prepared that so you would walk in it. You know what? Our current circumstances, they don't change who we are. COVID-19 does not change my identity. COVID-19 does not change Pastor Sue's identity. COVID-19 does not change your identity. What does COVID-19 do? It just changes the place that you work your purpose out in. It doesn't change who you are. It just changes how you do what you're called to do. Throughout the Bible, I've been reading the story of Gideon again, and I won't unpack that with you today, but it's a good story to read because he's a man who had an identity crisis, and God showed him what his true identity was and then unfolded his purpose as he became a judge of Israel and a mighty, mighty warrior. But that throughout the Bible, time and again, we see God commission and call people, declaring that they are the one he will use to lead others into his promises. Get that? God wants to use you to lead other people into his promises. God has got promises for all of mankind. And if we don't fulfill our purpose, then guess what? We're robbing people of the promises God has for them. People like Abraham, Moses, Deborah, Gideon, Esther, Saul, David, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Simon, Peter, Paul. The list goes on and on and on. And if you think we're struggling with our identity, think of Esther. She was a kidnapped teenage girl forced to become a wife of a king. She had no choice. Daniel, he was kidnapped as a boy and he was forced into servitude, but he became the prime minister of Babylon. David, ignored by his whole family, looking after sheep somewhere, who knows where, out in the hills, becomes one of the greatest kings of all of humanity. Peter, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, lied, cursed, even swore about not knowing Jesus when everyone knew he did. Talk about identity crisis. One of the greatest preachers, one of the founding apostles of the modern church. You know, one of the prophets I listed, his name was Jeremiah. He's in the Old Testament. There's a book named after him. And in chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, this is what God says to Jeremiah. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I appointed you as a prophet, as my prophet. Actually, the scripture says, I appointed you as my prophet. You see, Jeremiah's identity was in God. His purpose was in God. His purpose was for God. His identity was to reflect God. I appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Excuse me. The same goes for you and me. Now, God might not be calling each of us to be prophets. He might be calling you to be a world-changing dad. I mean, come on. What do kids need these days? They need good dads. They need great team coaches. Mum, I actually knew a young lady many years ago when I was in youth group, and we were doing teaching around what God has called us to do and what are our dreams, what are our visions in God. And we went around the room and someone said doctor, someone said lawyer, someone said fighter pilot, someone said mechanic. And it got to this lady. Well, lady, she was a girl. She was a teenager at the time. She looked and she felt really, really embarrassed. And our youth group leader said, what's wrong? And she goes, all I want to be is an amazing mum. All I want to do is love my kids and raise them in the things of Jesus. And you know, it floored the whole group. We realized it actually doesn't get a lot more important than that. Mums and dads, if you can do anything, if you can be like Jeremiah, be a prophet to God, for God, to his kids, is that you can speak the truth and the word of God over your kids. You can help form their future. You can help shape their character. You can help them understand and discover their identity in Jesus. Be a good, godly mum and dad, nan or pop, aunt or uncle, big brother or big sister. Come on, we're all in this together, guys. We're all in this together. God does not make mistakes. We are not created by accident. Your identity in Christ is unique and on purpose. He knew you before you were born, and he has always had a purpose for you. You know why? Because again, God said to Jeremiah this in chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." He's already made. "They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you," what? "A future and a hope." So if you're sitting right now in COVID-19 isolation going, "What does my future look like?" Man, look to the word of God, because God will tell you. He will help you understand your identity. He will help you discover your purpose. He will help you make a difference. He will give, he's given you, he's written your future for you. How cool is that? God is opening up fields of opportunity that we have not stepped into yet. I can tell you right now, 18 years ago, there was no chapter in my pastor's training manual about doing church online. Didn't even exist. God has got stuff for us to do that, you know what, we have not even yet discovered. He isn't looking for us this year. He is not looking for us to have all the abilities that we think we need. He's looking for us to be sure in our identity, then to be willing and available to step into the purpose for which we were created. Ephesians, again, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Get this, I love it. "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us." His mighty power at work within us. For what? "To accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." I can tell you right now, I didn't think I'd ever be preaching online. And here we are today. Okay, here's some questions to consider. How do you respond when God says he wants to use you? I can tell you what my first response was. What? Not a chance. But I've grown. You can do it. You can do it. You can grow. First question, how do you respond when God says he wants to use you? Second question, what has been holding you back from stepping out? What is it? What holds you back? Third question, what will you do today in response to God's call on your life? You know, whenever I speak, I like to share a little bit of practicality, a bit of application. And so that first question there, how do you respond when God says he wants to use you? Well, here's the first question I want to ask you around the application. Do you actually know your Creator personally? Because you can. For me, to discover my true identity, I had to go back to my originality, my origin, my point of creation. I had to go to God because he was my Creator. The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans, if you're not familiar with the Bible, then in the New Testament, it's broken into two halves. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest writers and speakers, like I said earlier on, he wrote a letter to the Roman people. And in chapter 10, verse 10 of that letter, it says this, "For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." You see, we need to come to that connection that we actually believe in God and that God believes in us and God created us. And in that belief and in that point of salvation, in that point of connection, supernatural, spiritual connection with God, that's when we begin to discover our true identity. That's when we begin to discover the answer to the question, who am I? Would you ask Jesus to come and set your heart free today? Would you ask Jesus to come and take you out of the darkness and the depth and the despair of that question, who am I? Would you ask Jesus to come and help remove the doubt from your heart? Would you allow him to come and make your heart whole? Would you allow God to speak into you what your true identity is? You know, church, friends, family, whānau, if you're linked in from overseas, whānau is the word in our indigenous Māori language which talks about the full encompassing of the family. So whānau, if you don't know God and you would like to, or if you're at the point where you're going, actually I need to reconnect with God, then our hosts, they're going to put up a link right now to our connect card where you can tick on that, I want to commit or recommit my life to Jesus, and one of our team, man, it would be such an honor to get in touch with you. We would love to help you on that journey. So if our hosts would put that link up, that'd be really, really awesome. Click on that and fill that in. So the first question is, do you know your Creator personally? Because you can. The second question is this. Based on who you are, what is the one thing that you can do? Not, I'm going to do something to create who I am, but because of who I am, I'm going to do something. Here's an example from my own journey into wholeness. Something that God gave me. In my brokenness and in my darkness and in my shame of how I grew up and in my desperate search for approval, I virtually had no self-esteem. And one of my greatest fears was the fear of rejection. And so I became, and instead of burrowing into darkness and becoming an extreme introvert, what I did was I went completely the opposite direction. I became this crazy, loud, in-your-face person. Because I was so scared of being rejected, I sought attention. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Oh my goodness, and that's a whole other story. But as I grew in wholeness, as I allowed God to speak into me my true identity, I found out that actually I wasn't out there sort of guy. If you've done character tests, I found out that actually I was a sanguine. Go figure, say people who know me. And in that character that I had, I found out that my identity was greatly loved, uniquely created for a purpose. And God, I am a son of God. I am a created child of God. And in that identity, I found out that the nature that he grew and created in me was that of an encourager. You put me in a room of 100 complete strangers and you give me enough time, I will find something in every one of those people that I can champion, and I will encourage them. I'll say, man, you rock. That is what you did. And I will encourage and encourage. I will encourage until I've got no voice left, because my identity, part of my identity is an encourager. But I did not know that until God healed my heart. So now, based on who I am, I now get to encourage. So because I'm now isolated at home, it doesn't change who I am. It just changes how I do it. I get to do this today. I'm so, so, so blessed that so many of you have joined us today. God bless you. Thank you. You've made my day. Currently, everything for me encouraging is either phone, internet, email. It's all online. You see, our current circumstances don't stop who or what we are. It just changes how we do it. One last scripture for this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. And I'm reading this to you out of the Message translation of the Bible. Whenever they turn their face to God, God removes the veil. That's the separation, the word that's used for separation. That there was a veil in the old temple that separated humanity from the presence and the power of God. But when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was destroyed. So people had instant and full access to God. And so this is what it says. Whenever they turn their face to God, God removes the veil, and there they are face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness from His face. And so our lives gradually become brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. You cannot help but shine from the glory of God when you're looking at His face. When you look at His face, your face shines, because His face is light and love and hope and future and amazingness. If in this difficult season you're struggling with your identity, your worth, or your future, here we go. I want to encourage you. I want to do what I am. I want to encourage you this morning with this question. Who are you? You are a magnificent, unique creation of God, a one-of-a-kind creation for which there is no comparison. And, you know, here at Elam Christian Center, we want to help you know God, and we want to help you find that freedom. So once you find who you are, what's your next step? You know what? Discover your purpose. Be willing and available to then step into it and then make a difference. And again, we would love to help you discover your purpose. And we would like to help you. We would like to help set you free so you could make a difference in that purpose. Again, if that's you and we might be able to help you, then again, click on the link that our hosts are going to put up, because in there, there's a place where you can put pre-requests. You can write a note or type a note and say, I'd like to know a little bit more about discovering my purpose and making a difference and stuff like that. And we can help you on that journey. But as we wrap up today, I'd just like to pray. I'd love to pray a blessing over you all as we wrap up this service. Can we do that? Come on, just... if you're in your lounge, well, of course you're in your lounge, or you're somewhere else, would you just stand? I'd love to bless you with a... I'm going to sit because my head's going to go off the top of the screen. But would you lift your hands to the Lord? Because I know the power of God wants to touch you and release His anointing on you right now. Ready? Come on, here we pray. Let's go, let's pray. Father, I thank you for every person that's linked in today. I thank you for every person that's come and joined us today. And in the name of Jesus... Wherever you are today, I declare over you the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. In the name of Jesus, I bless you. I bless the dreams of your heart. I bless the plans of your mind, the work of your hands, the steps of your feet, and the words of your mouth. In Jesus' name, I declare health and wholeness over your household. May your homes be filled with the living, powerful presence of the Almighty God of all heaven and earth. May the Holy Spirit surround not just you, but overflow from your home onto your section and onto your neighbors. May your neighborhood be blessed because of the outpouring of the love of God through you. May you know what it is to walk in the light of His face, that you would be illuminated, the true identity of who God has made you to be would suddenly burst into life within your spirit. As you turn your face to God, He will remove the veil, and there you will see Him face to face. May you know what it is to encounter the living God of the heavens and the earth. I bless you now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Hey guys, we're just going to leave this live for another 10, 15 minutes. Susan and I won't be on screen, but we want to leave it live so the chat can continue. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. We'll be in touch, Elam Christian Center Blenheim. We'll be in touch with you via email and Facebook over the week, and phone calls and texts and telegrams and things like that. But we love you. We love you. We love you. God bless you, honey. Come and join me. Let's say goodbye to our family. Yeah. Thank you, guys. We love you. See you later. Next week. Bye.